Football beats up on Waldorf, volleyball goes 2-1 at the 2026 Power Quad, and women's golf sets a new school record at the Mount Marty Invite. Hello and welcome to Season 4, Episode 2 of Talking Dogs. I'm Kyle Brick here with Keith Seek. Keith, how's it going today?
We're doing great. Awesome to talk about a great week in Concordia Athletics.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's jump right into things. We had the first football game of the season, and that ended up being an absolute beatdown against Waldorf. You know, you never know how things are going to go at the start of a season, but I think the anticipation was that it was going to be a big win over the Warriors from Waldorf, and that's exactly what happened. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened in that game?
Well, we know there was a lot of good feelings going into this matchup, it being the inauguration of the 100th year of Concordia football. Now, we had a crazy second quarter, scoring 5 touchdowns that Gideon Stark really dealt the entire game. At the end of the first half, it was 49-0, and the final score of the game was 77-7. The disparity between the two teams cannot be overstated, as Concordia put together 681 total yards of offense compared to Waldorf's 126. Particularly, Gideon Stark put together a record performance for the school, scoring eight touchdowns. He went 24 for 38, passing the ball, getting 388 yards total in the game. We had Camden Jensen come into the game and attempt 2 passes as well. On the receiving side, we had Johnny Pools go with 9 catches for 105 yards, scoring 4 touchdowns in a game. That also is a school record.
Yeah, thinking more about those school records as well, I think we also had total offense was the highest in the GPAC era. So since Concordia has been in the Great Plains Athletic Conference, that is the most points and most yards of offense that we have ever gotten. So pretty cool to see that in a very dominant game. Looking at some of the broader team statistics, first downs, we had 41. Waldorf only had 11. Third down efficiency, we were 67%. Waldorf was only 19%. They were better on fourth downs, though. We were 0 for 1. They were 1 for 1. So Waldorf beat us in that category. I think that's about the only one. Looking at average game per play, we were at 7.8 yards. They were at 2. You know, passing, rushing, pretty much all of that. We were much higher than them. They were about 50% for passing, while we went 25 for 40 over the whole of the game. Now, you mentioned something interesting, though, about the time of possession. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you don't often find this, but it just goes to show you how efficient and how lightning fast, how explosive Concordia was this game. Our total time of offensive possession was 27 minutes and 39 seconds. For a 60-minute game, you math majors or anybody with a head on their shoulders will know that that's less than half of the time. Waldorf beat us by 32 minutes and 21 seconds. However, because we scored so quickly, it really didn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you only need, you know, one or two of the downs to get a new first down and you can get into the red zone pretty quickly, you're not going to use that much time. And if you just keep giving Waldorf back the ball, with them only getting, like I said, 2 yards per play, they're going to use all 4 downs every time. So I guess not super surprising that they had a lot of time of possession, because I imagine even their 4 and outs were about the same amount of time as our touchdown drives. Looking at that first touchdown we had, it was 48 seconds into the game. So I imagine if we're scoring a minute after we get the ball, which we had, was that 11 touchdowns and 27 minutes mm-hmm. on the ball? That means we were scoring every 2.5 minutes of possession. I imagine that a rush-heavy 4 and out is going to take about 2.5 minutes as well, just with how the clock works. So yeah, very interesting from that. It's kind of like soccer, where possession definitely doesn't mean everything. Just having the ball isn't going to give you the win. But yeah, so really good performance from our football team. Do you have anything else about what happened in this game?
Well, it was great to see. The stands were packed. It was a great night to open the season. And we can't wait to see what Concordia football will continue to bring to the Bulldog Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of hard to talk about defensive statistics in this game just because our defense was so dominant and so many guys played well. It's easy to talk about the offensive guys in a 70-point win, but you got to give the credit to to the defensive guys as well. Just looking at our top performers for tackles, we had Deegan Barnes get 5 solo tackles, 4 assists for 9 total. He had 2 sacks for 11 total yards of loss. We had Tristan Reagan in there with 7 tackles. We had Caden Thompson with 6 tackles and a sack. We had Dylan Meyer, 5 tackles, 1.5 sacks. And then, yeah, we had 2 interceptions as well that we ended up catching. So Caden Thompson returned 2 interceptions for 17 yards. And then we actually had a fumble in the fourth quarter. Like Concordia fumbled the ball. Coach Dabrakow was not the happiest about that one. He said it was a good performance overall, but they have some stuff to clean up, especially on ball security. He said it's the expectation that they never fumble the ball, never give up interceptions. Ball security is very important to him. And so that is definitely something they'll be working on going forward. But no game this week. They have a bye week already, and their next game is going to be in 2 weeks' time on September 12th at Hastings. So, not too far of a drive. If you are free at 1 p.m. on Saturday, you should definitely make the drive to Hastings, Nebraska, and go cheer on the Bulldog football team. Moving on, we've got some volleyball action, and this week was action-packed for our volleyball team. We had 3 games, which isn't the craziest for volleyball. You know, sometimes they'll go 4 games in a weekend, but this was the Power Quad, and that is 4 of the most historically dominant teams in NAIA college volleyball. We had Mid-American Nazarene University, who generally is just good at most sports. That school is a pretty big powerhouse. Columbia College is the record holder for national championships. They have 4 in their history. Sorry, they're the longest active school. So there are schools that have had more, but that either are a different division now or shut down. And then Indiana Wesleyan, close on Columbia's heels for total national championships, 3, and all of those have happened in the last 3 years. They are 3-time back-to-back-to-back national champions. So, very tough schedule for Concordia in this one. Even though someone like Columbia is not quite as dominant as maybe they once were, they still have that history, they still have good players, and, you know, still going to be a good game. But we ended up going 2-1 in the festivities of the Power Quad. That happened with a 3-0 win sweep against Mid-American Nazarene. Columbia College, we beat them 3-1, and then we had a 3-2 loss against Indiana Wesleyan, and just about the closest game of volleyball you could set up. It was really, really close in every set, going the distance to 5. So break down a little bit of what happened in all of those games. Starting with that sweep over Mid-American Nazarene, we ended up winning those 25-20, 25-17, and then 25-16. So a little bit close in the first set, but then pretty dominant in the last two. A couple of players do pretty well on the offensive side. We had freshman Samantha Kimball lead all attackers in kills with 7. Now, she had 6 errors to go along with that on her 22 attempts, so that gave her just a .045 hitting percentage. But looking at someone who hit really, really efficiently, we had Bella Hedke. She had 6 kills on 10 swings with just 1 error to give her a .500 kill percentage. So really good performance, very efficient from her, taking her chances when she gets it. Looking at Shandi Fa'ali'i, generally the person getting the most looks at the net. She only had 24 attempts in this game, which is pretty uncommon for her, but she had 5 kills and 6 errors. So she actually had a negative hitting percentage, just wasn't really her day at the net. There were 2 plays in a row where she just swung right into it. You know, the game to have it for sure, though. If you're going to have a game where you're not swinging as well as you usually do, a 3-0 sweep's definitely the one to do it, especially later on in that game. It was a bit of a block party, though. We had 4 solo blocks and 16 block assists, so I think that comes out to about 12 total blocks, and it was dominant from a couple players. We had Maddie Paulson getting up at the net. We had Danica Martin. We had Bella Hedke and a few others who were really getting it done up at the front. Maddie Paulson and Danica Martin both were decent on the hitting as well. Danica Martin didn't have many kills, but when she did, she hit it with some force and conviction. I think all of them, you could just hear the thing. Like, no one got near. It was just straight from her hand into the ground, and you could hear it all around the stadium. So it was a pretty fun game to watch. Pretty dominant performance from the Bulldogs. Coach Bolt said that they really need to work on their offensive efficiency and get those errors down, because while they won pretty comfortably, they just had a .064 kill percentage, which for the Bulldogs, they're usually looking around that 150 to 200 range, even higher sometimes. So while it was good to get that win, it was more of their defense that helped them through that. Moving on to the game against Columbia, that ended up being a 3-1 win. We won the first two sets 25 to 21, and then 25 to 23, dropped the third set 25 to 19, and then ended up getting the 25 to 18 win in the fourth and final set. Looking at overall team hitting percentage, we hit 0.146, so over double, as good as the first one. Looking at Shandy Folly, like I said, she's usually the one getting the most looks up at the net. She had 56 attempts with 19 kills and 12 errors, so still a little bit less efficient than she would like to be. Only 0.125, so below the team average, but still, when you're getting that many sets, that many hits, you're going to have a couple errors, so nothing to be too worried about. Samantha Kimball, again, she got the second most looks in this game with 39, 13 kills, 7 errors, so definitely increasing that efficiency from the first game. And then looking at Bella Headke, 4 kills, 3 errors. Then Danica Martin got 11 kills with just 4 errors on 23 attempts for a 304 kill percentage. Lainey Baker, very efficient at the net, 5 kills on 10 attempts with just 1 error. So definitely a bit of a cleaned up performance, not quite as dominant on the blocking side, just 3 solos and 8 assists. But like I said, very efficient on the offense, especially compared to that last game. Did what we needed to do to get the win in this one. Yeah, what do you got?
Entering the Indiana Wesleyan matchup, Concordia actually did a really good job coming back from an early set loss. The loss was 25-23. Then Concordia followed it up with a 25-23 win in the second and a 25-21 in the third. It was really good to see them bounce back from the first loss and actually put themselves in a really good position to close it out. Unfortunately, it just didn't happen like that.
Yeah, so it was, like I said, about as close as you can get with a 26-24 fourth set loss, so going an extra point. And then the same thing happened in the fifth set, losing 17-15. So we made it to the 15 mark, but you know, in volleyball, win by two. So it ended up going 17-15. Indiana Wesleyan getting the win. And an interesting thing, a kind of funny thing, is earlier in the day, Mid-American Nazarene beat Indiana Wesleyan. So just kind of a funny thing where no one came out of the power quad unscathed. You can just tell that all the teams are solid there. Anyone had the chance of beating anyone. So looking at some of the statistics of this one, it was our second best hitting overall, 0.139 kill percentage, and Shandy Folly was getting the bulk of those attempts. She had 70 total attempts in this game. 19 kills, 10 errors, 0.129, so just about team average, but that is a lot of swings. 70 in one game. I know it's, you know, you go all 5 sets, so you're going to have more attempts, more points, but 70 is just a lot, and they're setting her from ever, whatever side she's on. If she's in the back row, she gets a lot of those sets as well. So just definitely the go-to player on offense. Moving actually from, she was a defensive specialist the last 2 years. Mostly playing back row. Now she's the main person up at the net for attacking-wise. Had Samantha Kimball, 31 attempts, 6 kills. We had Bella Headke, again, being very efficient at the net. 14 attempts, 4 kills, 0 errors. Very clean player. Looking at the players getting it done on the assists, we have Myla Emery, a freshman. She had 27 in this game, and then sophomore Ella Brueggemann with 19. Those two have been splitting the assist numbers pretty well so far. Looking at that Columbia game, Emery had 31 assists, Brueggemann had 15, and looking at that first game, Emery had 14, Brueggemann had 13. So definitely good to see both of them being very successful. Myla Emery being a freshman, it's great to see her already settling into things and leading the team in assists. Also doing very well on the dig numbers in that Indiana Wesleyan game. We had 3 players, actually 4, really close to each other in dig. So Emery had 18. We had Ella Brueggemann with 19. And then we had Clara Everett with 18 and Fali E with 14. So lots of players able to do it on defense. We're not just relying on one or two players to clean up things when maybe the blocks aren't coming out well. So we're keeping the ball up well, lots of digs. Indiana Wesleyan had 86 total digs. We had 90, so very even on that front. Their hitting percentage was a little better than ours at .147, and they blocked pretty well compared to us. Actually, it was very similar. We had 6 solos and 10 assists, and they had 5 solos and 12 assists. So that pretty much comes down to the same number of total blocks. So just kind of like the scoreline indicates, it was about as even a game as you can possibly get. We were actually tied with them for number 3 in the national rankings. I can't really see that changing too much just based off of this result. It's not like Indiana Wesleyan blew us out 3-0 or something, or the sets were really lopsided. About as close as you can get. There was only one set that had more than 2 points separating the teams, and it was one that we got the win in.
You kind of wonder how much talent is on this team and how much talent it's still developing into. Also, the home court advantage, how much that played into the match. Undoubtedly, it had a positive effect. And you kind of think, wow, we had them on the ropes, and it was on our home court. I want to see that win next time. But like I said, it's an early in the season still. This is great competition. Love what we saw from volleyball this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're definitely hoping that a game like this, where you don't end up getting the win, but you get really close, you fight till the end, that can help us when we end up coming against Northwestern. Because for sure going to be once, and if history is any teacher, we'll probably see him in the GPAC tournament, likely in the championship. Just if history is anything to go by. Of course, not count our chickens before they hatch, but Northwestern is definitely an opponent that's going to come up soon, and we need to be ready for that. Looking at this weekend, on September 4th and 5th, we've got the College of St. Mary Labor Day Classic, and that'll feature 3 games in Omaha. That's going to be the first one on September 4th at noon against Lindsey Wilson University. Then at 4 that same day, it's going to be a game against Ottawa. Then on the 5th, so Sunday, at 5 p.m., the University of St. Francis out of Indiana. So that is what's coming up for volleyball. Then right after that, it's GPAC time. Midland, September 9th at Friedrich Arena, the conference opener for the Bulldog volleyball team. So make sure you are there. It's at 7:30 p.m. We'll, of course, highlight that again next week, but just want to put that out there so you can put it in your calendars. But looking forward from volleyball, we had women's golf. They set a new program record for a 36-hole tournament. So they were out at the Mount Marty Invite at the Fox Run Golf Course in Yankton, South Dakota. As a team, we shot a 318 led by Maddie Lewis, graduate student. Maddie Lewis ended up hitting 156 overall. So she shot 82 in the first round and then dropped it all the way to 74 in the second round. So huge improvement there by 8 strokes from round 1 to round 2. Looking at the rest of that top 5, we had Olivia James shoot 82 and 81 for a 163 score. We had Amelia Pataknik she shot 86 and 80 for a 166. Savannah McFall shot 85 and 83 for a 168. And then Mackenzie Hughes shot 90 and 91 for a 181. So just looking at that, everyone except Mackenzie Hughes improved from round 1 to round 2. So I think that shows some positive signs that early on in the season we're able to read a course. And able to improve from one round to another, not getting in our heads on certain holes, because while I'm no golfer, I can imagine that if I played really bad on a hole in round 1, I'd be really in my head on round 2 about it and wanting to get it perfect. But so good to see that they're able to learn from their mistakes and improve from one round to another. It's actually the second year in a row that Concordia set a new program record at this invite. Again, don't know anything about the course or if it's an easy course, hard course, but second year in a row that we've set a program record there, and definitely looking forward to seeing what they can do this season. Like we mentioned last week, golf is an interesting sport where it's kind of year-round, but their main season is the spring. So they have real competitions in the fall. Like, these do count for things. It's not just like an off-season scrimmage. These are real tournaments, but their GPAC stuff is going to be in the spring. So that's really when they need to dial it in. But great to see that already they're playing really well, setting program records. And then looking forward to some of the other sport things coming up next week, because we only had football, volleyball, and then that women's golf for this week. We are looking forward to the men are actually playing at the Mount Marty invite, so it's their turn to maybe see if they can set a program record, see what new guys they've got going on, what returners are going to step it up. Then we have on Wednesday, so that's going to be tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday, September 1st. We have the men's and women's soccer team playing against Bellevue University, and that is going to be the women at 5:30 p.m. and the men under the lights at 8 for senior day. The women, it's not their senior day yet. They have it in about a week and a half, but the men, it's going to be senior day that the senior day honorings are going to happen in between the men and the women's game. So it'll probably be around 7:30 that ends up happening, and then the kickoff is scheduled for 8 o'clock. Looking forward to volleyball, we mentioned their CSM invite. That's all they've got for next week. Cross country starting up next week. We have the Augustana University Twilight at 8:45. Keith, why don't you tell us a little bit about what that meet looks like?
That meet is a really excellent event for our cross country team. We get to go up against Division II through NAIA schools and have great competition under the lights. We run after dark. It's a really flat, it's a really fast course. It's wonderful for spectating. So if you want to drive up to South Dakota, we'd love to see you, and we'd love to run behind your cheers and supported by you. However, it's going to be a great meet, and we love it every single year. It's a great way to kick off the cross country season.
Awesome. And then the final thing we have for you is another men's soccer game against William Penn University on September 5th. So that is going to be against William Penn, who is always a top 10 team. They were number 7 in the preseason rankings nationally, and it actually doesn't get any easier from there, because looking forward to the next week, so Monday, September 7th, we have men's soccer against Grandview University. So it's going to be 2 games in Iowa. We'll be staying overnight, play Saturday, stay Sunday, play Monday. Grandview University is the defending national champions and the number 1 in the preseason polls. So it should definitely be an exciting competition, a great weekend of action. I think I told you guys something wrong on the volleyball. Those volleyball games are actually going to be a Friday, Saturday. So September 4th is a Friday. September 5th is the Saturday. So don't go to College of St. Mary on Sunday to watch volleyball, because no one's going to be there. It's just going to be you and no volleyball. So save yourself the drive and actually go on Friday and Saturday instead. So we all clear on that? Friday, Saturday for volleyball. Saturday for soccer. It's going to be at William Penn, so it's like 4 hours away, so I won't be too mad at you if you don't come. And then same with Grandview, it's going to be 3 hours away in Des Moines, so I understand your love for soccer may not be that great to carry you all the way to Des Moines, but we'd love to see your support. Make sure you follow on all of the athletic channels. You've got the Bulldog Twitter account that provides great updates. The Sower, of course, is putting out content about games. We try to get those stories up within a day or even a couple hours of the event happening to keep you guys updated. And yeah, we're excited to see what all of the sports can do, especially these ones having their first games or competitions, like men's golf, like cross country. And then we've got some other ones coming up soon as well. But I think that'll be it for season 4, episode 2 of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to give us a follow on Spotify. Give us a 5-star review. You can also listen on the CUNE Sower website. So there's 2 different ways for you to listen. Make sure you pick at least one of them. We'd love it to be Spotify, because then you can leave us a rating, a review. You can even comment on the episodes. So send us a nice message. If you have any tips of things we should cover in the sports world, you should let us know, because we'd love to cover all those things. But yeah, I think that'll be all today from myself, from Keith, and from everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper. Have a good day, and go Dogs!